But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. And I've conquered it for you. God transmits his joy to his words. Living a Christ-centered life is the only source of true joy. Joy creates an atmosphere for God to move. Are you ready for God's word? Bring it on like you're ready. Are you ready for God's word?
Yes, sir.
All right. You see, as I study my Bible, one of the things that gets my attention is how practical God is. Okay. And the second thing is how much God can get into man's context to help man. Glory to God. If I stand an exegesis on that, it will last for the whole service. Praise God. But you see, God is always conscious of man's weakness, man's limitations. And what he does because of his love is to come into man's realm so he can help man. In fact, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we call it God's intrusion into the sense realm. That means God became a man so he can help man. Hallelujah. The Bible says we don't have a high priest who is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Because in every point he was tempted as we are. Hallelujah. And you see, he's not just touched to say, he's touched and his response is the answer. Hallelujah. So God does not throw pity parties. God brings solution. Amen. You read in the Bible that Jesus was moved with compassion, and then the power of God will be administered through that compassion. So he doesn't say, you are sick, he's well with you. So he releases the healing power to meet the present need. And that is God for you. Hallelujah. So he's taught you the feelings of our infirmities. And that means every time you hear God giving you instruction, let the weak say, I am strong. You have to trust the wisdom of God that he knows what he's saying. That he's telling you that strength is released when you say that you are strong. When he says the joy of the Lord is your strength, you have to trust his wisdom. It takes a lot of humility to trust the wisdom of God. But you get to a place where you don't have a choice but to be humble at the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Please don't do social media as I'm preaching. Is that okay? Just pay attention. Hallelujah. Praise God. Keep your phones far away from you, except it's a tab where you're writing. Glory to God. That means you should not be looking at anything else apart from your writing interface. Are we together? All right. So he's touched the feelings of our infirmities. He's not saying he doesn't understand what you're going through. Rather, he's giving you a higher perspective. This is the way you should see God's word. So when you say, let the weak say, I am strong, he's giving you a higher perspective from his standpoint of wisdom. Sons of the earth will say things like, or cannot people say things like, but I'm feeling weak. Let's be real. God is real too. That was why he mentioned the weakness in the first place. If he was to speak at his level, he wouldn't say, let the weak say. No, he doesn't recognize weakness. In heaven, there is no bring me water. Do you understand? You hear things like, water I drink. This is why Paul said, Paul said he had communications in heaven that were unlawful for men to utter, where on the earth the words were uttered in heaven. You remember? Unlawful for men to utter in the earth. That means the communication is rid of limitations.
Hey.
Imagine talking without the limitations of sin, the limitations of the fallen words. It's not like, I need money. Mm-mm. Money I have. Those are the kind of things you hear in heaven. They don't even need money in heaven. Hallelujah. God spends authority. He owns everything. Glory to God. Now, why am I telling you this? This series on joy is the wisdom of God for you. Humble yourself under His wisdom, the wisdom of His word. Don't say again, after you are hearing this, don't say again, but this is how I feel. You are just being a proud fellow. Are you with me? What is humility? Humility is submitting to the wisdom of God. God, is this what you have said? Yes, sir, I believe. You mean this is the truth? I believe. You mean this is your perspective? This is your opinion? I believe. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Always. Again, I say rejoice. What do? You accept it. You respond. Lord, I rejoice. It is that humility that gets God's power to work. Hallelujah. He said, you receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. James chapter 1 verse 25. Give me Message translation. Verse 21. James 1 21. Message translation. I love the way he puts it there. Beautiful. Message translation. He says, so throw all spoilt virtues and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, King James says with meekness, in simple humility, let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. Oh my. Are you not just blessed reading that? Let our gardener God, but he added, it's going to take simple humility. Let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. Beautiful. The password there is humility. When you read God's word, check for password. Humility. That means drop your opinion when God's word comes. That's how you let it. He said in simple humility, let our gardener landscape your life with the word, making a salvation garden. A salvation garden. That means your life is filled with the goodies of salvation. That's what he's saying. But it takes humility. Receiving his word without prejudice. There are people in church, when the pastor is teaching, they assume pastor is talking to their neighbor, not them. That is not humility. They say, talk to them. That's not humility. Hallelujah. Every time the word comes, I've taught you about the four ministry of the word. Is it for doctrine? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Keep your feelings aside and do what God says to do. That is humility. Hallelujah. So in John chapter 6, you can put it up now. We see God identifying with humanity's. John chapter 16 verse 3. Are you getting blessed already? Now, this is God getting real. Get into your context. Saying, I've told you all this so that you can trust me. King James. Sorry. Amplified. No message. Amplified. I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have what? Tribulations. It's not sugarcoating it. And trials and distresses and frustrations. But be of good cheer. You see, we live in a fallen world. That's the truth. The teaching of faith is not complete if people are not told that challenges are part of life. It's incomplete. Especially younger people coming up. You see, there are days where you'll be tempted to go and check your birth certificate to find out if Job is one of your names. It happens to everybody. You didn't hear what I said. You've never been there before. Where everything is going wrong. Everything. Everything is going wrong. You call your mama and say, is my name Job? Number one, it happens to everyone. The Bible says there's nothing you are facing that which is common to man. It's common. I like to tell Christians that it's common. Commonize your challenges. Don't let Satan get you to a place where you think you are the only one going through this. He says the same affliction is accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. Same affliction. He said, there's no temptation that has come to you except that which is common to man. But he said, God is faithful. God is faithful. Who is able to make a way of escape. Most times the problem is the ability to see the way of escape. And part of the requirement to see the way of escape is joy. What we're talking about. Because in this verse, Jesus tells us, in the world you have distresses, trials, tribulations. But you are not to surrender to them. Don't look for it. Don't look for them, but they will come to you. Hallelujah. And then he tells us what he has done about them, about the world. And then shows you, prescribes for you the right response. Be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. I have conquered it for you. Hallelujah. It sounds like a contradiction, isn't it? Like a paradox. You have overcome the world. You have conquered it for me. What's going on? Why is there still tribulation and distresses? That's just the way it is. At least in this transit camp we call Earth. That's just the way it is. But your own response has been prescribed. Be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Rejoice. Because of what he has done and because of who you are, rejoice. Oh, glory to God. We've been speaking on the economy of joy. You already know that, right? And we've been saying amazing stuff, amazing, amazing stuff. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, let's pick today's up from this place. True joy flows from the sense of your identity in Christ. That's where true joy flows from. The sense of your identity, the conviction, the persuasion of your identity in Christ. Joy doesn't flow, that's true joy now, doesn't flow from things. It doesn't flow from good things that happen to you. It doesn't flow from your earthly pedigree or the degree that you had. It doesn't flow from how much is in your bank account. You can never tie the root of your joy, or the purpose of your joy, or the reason rather, that's the word. The reason for your joy, for your happiness to the things that are unstable. You can't do that. Let me tell you this. The rate of suicide in our generation is alarming. Doctors are here, they can tell you. If it has become a top public health issue globally, right? Suicide rates just increasing like crazy. But you can go and do your research. These things are connected to identity confusion. You see, when people begin to draw their sense of value, their identity, their sense of worth from things that are unstable, they are prone to depression. They are prone to all this. You see, what happens is, you are opening the door up for demons to come in. But see, from the beginning, if you are taught well, and you know that, look, in life, my soul is never anchored. My soul was not designed to be anchored to the mercurial systems of this world. My soul was never designed to be anchored to the things that are fleeting. You are better positioned to handle the pressures in the world. Hallelujah. You don't draw your identity from what you have or don't have. You don't draw your identity from who likes you or who doesn't like you. No. Your husband or your fiancé doesn't define your identity. Your identity is defined by your relationship with Jesus. How much you have in your bank account does not define who you are. It could be a good tool for expressing your heart, which is beautiful. It makes you feel good, yes. What if it's not there anymore? You're going to feel bad. Are you here? None of those things really express the true worth of a man's soul. None. And you should never tie your happiness or your joy to external things. They're unstable. If you do that, you live a very sad life. Including the promises of men. Do you understand? No matter how reliable you think they are, the Bible says the arm of flesh will always fail. Never tie your joy to any of these things. Rather, let your joy be tied to your relationship with Jesus. Who he has made you. Who he is. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. And according to God's word, you are the seed of Abraham. An heir according to the world. An heir according to the promise. Sorry. An heir of the world according to the promise. Are you learning something? This is the root of it. So when we say Christ-centered life, this is something you must know. That a man who is Christ-centered draws his sense of self-worth, draws his identity truly from his relationship with the Lord. That way your joy can be constant. Listen, every treasure in this world is buried inside. It's not easily seen, true or false. The same thing, your real worth is hidden within. It's not in anything that physical eyes can see. The Brazilian hair you are wearing is not your true worth. It makes you feel good, it's nice, you should look good. But you don't draw your identity from it. No, you don't. Neither the car that you drive. You see, you have to learn to deal with things that are existential threats to your existence. Things that are core. Let me give an example. That means if you should be able to clinch the diagnosis that, look, I have some esteem issue. You see, what we do is we look for things on the outside to cover inner squabbles and inner uncertainties. What I'm saying is tell yourself the truth. And what's the truth? The truth is God's word. Stay with God's word until you are convinced of who you are and whose you are. Once you get to that place, nothing on the outside defines satisfaction for you. Absolutely nothing. I've told you, nothing on the outside actually gives you satisfaction outside of Christ. Nothing. 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 You have to go within and know who you are. Because there are many genuine Christians that are praying for breakthrough. The reason they are doing that is to cover a breach on the inside. Maybe somebody spoke to them anyhow and they are waiting for an earthly vindication. When I now prosper, after God blesses me, everybody will see that God is faithful. That is vain. Listen, if your sense of value, your sense of worth, your sense of satisfaction comes from waiting for physical vindication, that comes from answered prayer, you are still not there. Yes, sir. You are still not there. Because your relationship with God doesn't revolve around those things. It doesn't. You are living for something that is eternal. Every true preacher knows that. You have to tell yourself, if I'm to preach between mountains and valleys, and nobody ever gives me money, I'll preach this gospel. If nobody ever comes and says thank you, I'll preach this gospel. So where is my joy then? The Lord. Where is my joy then? Living for him. Where is my joy then? Living his will for my life. Are you here? Nothing in this world is worth anchoring your joy to. Absolutely nothing. The world is too unstable. And the outer things are fleeting. Someone said, when I get married, I'll be joyful. You'll be a sad person. You'll be sad. Yeah? You're putting somebody's son under pressure to make you happy. That's a big responsibility only you and God can carry out. Putting somebody's daughter under pressure to be the source of your happiness. Is I just married, I just skip. Every time I look at her, I'm happy. She just gives me joy. Yes, she should give you joy. But your joy is not anchored to it. It cannot be. Find true source, which is Christ-centered living. And out of that is a clear understanding of who you are and whose you are. Hallelujah. You know what Paul says? He said, the things that were natural advantages to me, I counted them as dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. That's remarkable, isn't it? As dung. I counted them as dung, as nothing, for the excellency of his knowledge. He had crossed the line. Hallelujah. The man had arrived there. Glory to God. If you are blessed, shout, I'm blessed. Was it joy is the focus? Psalm 16, 8 and 9. I've set the Lord always before me, because it's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, and my body, my flesh, shall rest in hope. So set the Lord always before you. I shared the dimension of that last week. Put the Lord always before you. Set him before you. It means see God as your source. Amen. And see him as your proactive supply. Hi. He's your source. He's your proactive supply. He's your source. No man is your source. This was what Abraham knew. When he returned from the slaughter of the king, he handed over everything to the king of Sodom. You know, Sodom is a type of the world. A type of the world system. A type of the system that exploits. You know what he says? He said, give me the men and keep the goods. And Abraham told him, he said, look, here is everything we got. I will not take anything, not even to the shoe latchet. He said, so that you will not say, I have made Abraham great, or made Abraham rich. What the man? He said, for I've lifted up my hands before El Elyon. Hallelujah. I've lifted up my hands before Elohim Elyon, possessor of the heavens and the earth. When God saw that, you know what happened next? Abraham had a vision. God appeared. He said, Abraham, fear not. I am your shield. I am your rapidly increasing money supply. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. What is he saying? Abraham, I'm your source. That was what Abraham demonstrated. He's a king of Sodom. You are not my source. God is. El Elyon is. See God as your source. Set him before you as your source. Men are channels. Other systems in the world are channels. Hallelujah. But most importantly, see him as your proactive supply. I can't talk about that enough. See him as your Jireh. See him as the God who has already prepared a ram caught in a thicket before you showed up. In that prophetic parable, which is about God's salvation, provision for salvation, are you with me? In Genesis 12, is a revelation of God's character and God's disposition towards our needs. It shows us that God is always proactive as far as what we need is concerned. That means with God, before the need comes, the supply is waiting. See him that way. Don't think it's after you have prayed and God is never thinking, oh God, how do we get a car across to her? Kai, kai, kai. Michael, come. How do we get this car across to her? No. It's a proactive supply. You know what that should do for you? It should take away the fears. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. In danger, he was there before you appeared. He was there. You find yourself in trouble, real life trouble. Remind yourself that Jehovah was there before you showed up. Now, what should that provoke? Thanksgiving and joy. He's your supply. And he's proactive at it. Question. Did you fast and pray before God sends Jesus? Send Jesus to come and die? No. In the same way, you say, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's the same thing. That means the all things that you need, he supplies them proactively. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. If you are blessed, say amen. Kill the anxiety, kill the fear. There's no need. Cast all the need on him. Cast all the anxiety. Cast all the cares on him. Cast all of your needs on him. See him as your proactive supply. And focus. Glory to God. For the sake of those in second service, let's read 1 Peter 5, 7 in Amplified. We need to read it. No reading certain scriptures just blesses you. Hallelujah. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxiety, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares affectionately. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. It's in the details. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If it touches you, it touches him. Hallelujah. So trust him. Second thing is to focus on the concerns of others. Don't be self-centered. Don't be. You see, there are things we do that set... As I journey through life, I see how people... Now, there's nothing wrong with being careful about people. But you see, in the kingdom, one of the most important words you have to understand is a word called balance. That means don't be on two extremes. Are you with me? Don't be on two extremes. As much as you should not open your life up to all kinds of people. As much as we advise you not to do that, we also have to tell you that living in isolation will never help you. Hallelujah. Because we're created to do life in community. We're created to be part of people's lives and to allow others be part of our lives. This is just the design. Are people perfect? No. That means you must develop the skill to mingle, to let people into your space with their imperfections. And that means love must be king in your heart. That's what it means. Are you with me? A Christ-centered life is focused on the concerns of others. And if you don't pass this first layer, you can't really handle the concerns of others. And that means life is not just all about you. Open up to others. Don't live in isolation. Statistics have shown that suicide rate is higher among those who are withdrawn. And listen, the reason for the withdrawal may be legitimate, but it makes no difference. Laws are laws. Laws will always act. If a man is on the 10th floor and he sees a snake and he decides to jump the balcony because of the snake, gravity will not say, it was snake he saw. No. Are you with me? You know, children are continuous in their thinking. And that, you know, there's a part of faith. They, after watching Tom and Jerry for so long, you have to be continuous. How many lives does Tom have? Endless. I mean, they pounded until he was like paper. You know, they ironed on him, you've seen. And then he stands up. And then back. Interestingly, many children think that that's how life is. And it has a good side, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Focus on the concerns of others. Open your life up. People will hurt you. But forgive and move on. Listen, why am I saying this? You can never take away the place of the ministry of other people in your growth and development. You cannot truly mature in the things of God without mingling with people, especially as a Christian. You can't. You were betrayed, you will trust again. Somebody abused the privileges, you will give another person another privilege. In fact, sometimes you give the same person the privilege. It depends on what happened, though. Amen. Are you with me? Glory to God. If you are blessed, say amen.
Amen.
Paul was concerned. Give me the scriptures now. Philippians chapter 1, 3 to 5. You see clearly, Paul was thinking about the people. He prayed for them all the time. If all you do is pray for yourself, you are self-focused. You cannot truly live a happy life. I thank my God always at the remembrance of you. He always prayed for the people. He lived for the people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want us to move fast because of our time. The third thing is, see circumstances as opportunities. You must see circumstances as opportunities. Philippians 1, 12 to 14, very quickly. See, life is all about your worldview. Life is all about how you see things. You must learn to see even the difficult things. We're talking about Christ-centered life. You must learn to see even the difficult things through the eyes of God. What does God see? You must learn to see difficulties as opportunities. Difficult circumstances as opportunities for growth. Opportunities to manifest the victory of Jesus. Opportunities to preach the gospel. Let's read Paul now. Look at this. But I would you should understand, brethren, that these things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul was in chains. Paul was persecuted. Paul was in trouble. Paul was in prison. But look at his perspective. Look at his view. He is seen beyond the pain. Listen, you must learn to train your mind to see beyond the pain. See the purpose of the pain. See what God can accomplish through the pain. Imagine if Joseph left Potiphar's house and escaped back to his house. They would have all perished during the famine. Are you with me? But being lied upon was painful. Landing in the dungeon was painful. Being sold out was painful. But God had a greater purpose. You see, when we learn to see the greater purposes of God, we'll always be filled with thanksgiving. No matter what happens, we know that, look, this our brain is not sophisticated enough to calculate perfectly the eternal purposes of God. So what do? You give God thanks. And you look at advantage it has for the gospel. That's what Paul is saying. It has fallen out rather onto the furtherance of the gospel. And he was excited. The next verse. He was excited. So that my bones in Christ are manifest in all the palace. You see, the historical background is this. That it is said that in Rome, the guards who took care of high profile criminals, quote and unquote, or traitors, quote and unquote, like Paul, they were an elite team who also worked in the palace. Are you with me? So that team, the way you have Marine SEAL, right? Navy SEALs, okay, US Navy SEALs, just elite corps. We call them elite corps between the forces. So these military guys were elite corps. who took care of the prisoners. Historically, what happened was Paul was winning them like water. And through them, the gospel got to the palace. When you read Paul's letter to I think it's Book of Romans, you see him telling them to greet the church in the house of Caesar, not just Rome. So he had penetration in the palace. What we are saying is, this is bond in prison. Give the gospel the opportunity to spread across the palace and across the entire room. That's what Paul is saying. He said, this is my bond, fell out onto the forefront of the gospel. And Christ is now manifested. You can see his priority. He's Christ centered in all the palaces, all the palace, and in other places. Next verse. Are you blessed? And many of the brethren in the Lord are waxing confident by my bonds, and they are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. What a man. He always looks at the positive side of things. Don't be quick to curse God. In fact, you are not to curse God at all. You know that, right? But I'm speaking in figure of speech. Always be joyful. Yes, you are not expecting it to happen. Look carefully. How can this manifest the victory of Jesus? It's all about your perspective. Hallelujah. Next verse, 15. 15. Verse 15. It says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Keep it going. 16. Envy and strife is not for you. Has anybody been envious of you and walked in strife towards you? It's ugly. And see, your spirit can pick it. Yes. When people are striving with you, your spirit can pick it. It's filthy, it's distracting, it's choking. But Paul said, one preach Christ in contention, another in sincerity, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. He was in prison, they were still persecuting him. You know, the highest form of persecution is the one that comes from not fellow Christians. There's persecution of the world, persecution of Christians, and persecution by fellow ministers or by ministers of the gospel. That is difficult. He said they were adding affliction to his bonds. But look at his disposition. You're thy in love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. 18. What then? Paul is saying, this is my perspective. This is my conclusion. I see circumstances as opportunities, especially when Christ is glorified. We should learn from Paul. There was a story of an optimistic man. He was so optimistic. I mean, is it optimism we'll call it? No, he saw good in everyone. Yes. There's nobody you talk to him about that he can't bring up something beautiful about the person. So one day they took him to a death row. Okay, this firing squad. They said this guy is a hardened criminal. He's a murderer. He had done all kinds of things. A messed up human. Okay. Now, so what good can you see about this one? Mr. C. Good. What good can you see? He looked and said, Kai, he has a wonderful set of dentition. He has a wonderful teeth. Can't you see? He has wonderful teeth. Oh, you didn't get the story. That means the guy had trained himself to see something positive in everyone. You can train your mind to see something positive in every situation. Because see, through prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, every adversity can turn for your good. It can. That's what the Bible says. It can. Put up verse 18 for me. Glory to God. Notwithstanding, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein I rejoice. And ye, I will rejoice. Nothing touched his joy. Are you with me? Absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. So the second part, now just give me 5 minutes, I'll be done. Second part, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And then thirdly, joy is a fight. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Oh, blessed Jesus. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. That means you have to feed it. Fruits grow on trees. And trees draw nutrients to produce fruit. The nutrient for your human spirit is the Word of God. When you feed on God's Word, the fruit of joy will blossom. That's what he's saying. Give me Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, quickly. Jeremiah 15, 16. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is God's wisdom. This is God's wisdom. F.F. Bosworth said this many years ago. He said, you feed your spirit. You know, he said you feed your flesh with four hot square meal in a day. And then you give your spirit a cold snack. And you wonder why you lack faith. It's the same thing with joy. If you feed your mind with just, there's nothing wrong with comedy, man. We just comedy kids, skits, and secular news, and all the bad news in the world. The recession, they say UK is about to enter recession. America is at the verge of recession. I'm sure the leaders of Nigeria are happy now. You know why they are happy? They say it's not only us. You say it's a global thing. Politicians, God need to visit them. And some of you need to visit them. Meaning, if God calls you to politics, do it passionately as a ministry unto God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Feed your spirit with God's word. Listen. You see, one of the demonstrations of spiritual intelligence is what you let into your mind. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of it are the boundaries of life. That means you are the security man over your heart, at the gate of your heart. You are the security man. You are the custom officer. You identify contraband. I say, no, this is contraband. You can't come into this country. You are the custom officer at the border of your mind, at the border of your spirit. You are. Nobody else will do it for you. Nobody else. If you will fill your heart with the word, your heart will overflow with joy. I say that again. If you will fill your heart with the word, your heart will overflow with joy. And this is not partial contact just on Sunday. This is why we have technology. Our messages are on Telegram, on the website. Download them, soak in them. Listen to messages. Because the messages will bring to you the revelation of Jesus as God's plan of provision, right? Feed your spirit. Feed on the word. He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. You see, create your own system. Let me tell you this. You can write it down. Anything you have not structured, you are not doing. You may claim that, no. If you have not structured it, you are not doing it. So, what is your personal structure around hearing God's word? Around feeding of God's word? What's your structure? If it's not structured, you are not doing it. If prayer is not structured, you are not praying. If giving is not structured, you are not giving. It's not the things that tithe does for you and partnership does for you. He helps you structure your giving. Anything you have not structured, you are not doing. You are lying to yourself. Because by the time you have 6 months gone by and you trace, and you are genuine and honest enough to go and trace, you will notice that chances are you did one or two times and stopped. You were not consistent. Why? There was no structure. Are you with me? From giving, my giving is structured. Very structured. percentage, this to God, this to family, this to the prophet. This every month. Every month. Because God blesses order. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things a pastor must have is spine to be able to see the truth. When we're taking offering in first service, I told those in first service, what's the value of 1,000? Right? It's nothing serious. And I told them boldly, giving God less than 1,000. You know, we are saying this because we are in a smaller town. Because we are in Jos. I have to help you. I have to help you. What's the value of 1,000? You shouldn't give God less than 1,000 in an offering. In the whole month, that's 4,000. 1K cannot buy shawarma. Amen. Two of us, you can't buy shawarma. So it's an insult to put less than 1,000 in an offering for God, even if you're a student. If I'm talking to you, repent and set a vision. Are you with me? Remember, anything you have not structured, you are not doing. You are not doing. The same thing with giving. Giving to the anointed. You have to structure it. You will not find money just lying like that at the level you are in. For most of you, are you with me? It has to be structured. Structure means from the beginning. This is my offering. This is my tithe. This is what I give to my prophet. This is what I give to the needy. This is what I give to my parent. No matter how little. If it's too small, you convert it to recharge card and send to them. Anything you have not structured, you are not doing. Same thing with prayer. You tell yourself, this is why I pray every morning. This is when I pray every day. Are you with me? So not showing up there is the exception, not the rule. Because there are times you may not show up there. It's not the problem. But it's a structure. And it keeps you accountable. It keeps you accountable. You see, this is you hear us. This is why I know it's Bishop Oyedepo that used to shout that in too much. You envy preachers because they are prosperous. Check their practices. Every genuine preacher gives to another preacher every month. I'm telling you the truth. But our spiritual father, mentor, are you with me? Every month we do it without fail. So you are rolling around. You understand? The years are passing. They will talk. It's like you are not hearing. And then boom. You see Dr. Christ say, church money, church money. Church money. It's tight, they are eating. No. Why are we saying this? That's why I love Bishop a lot. And that's why he's raising prosperous people. Because it's difficult to say these things. Because Christians are stubborn. On a large scale, you know, I'm not insulting you. Do you understand? I love you. I'm just saying, have you not noticed it yourself? Talk to me now. The problem is, in their mind, they have a way. I can figure it out. I can figure it out. You ask somebody, are you giving your tithe? Say, Kai, you know, Pastor, there is even for the last 1 year, things have not been good. He's explaining. As Apostle Gbafe will say, he said, demons don't understand explanation. Devourers don't understand it. Are you here? Anything you have not structured, you are not doing. Unfortunately, this cuts across every area of life. You talk about giving, people play around with it until the year is over. You talk about prayer, amen, they play along with it. It's not structured. You know, the context of our talk is hearing God's word. You have to structure it. Feeding your spirit must be structured. If you check my daily to-do, you see WOF. That's word of faith. That means every day I expect to listen to at least a message. And read at least two chapters of the Bible. It can be more. Or minimum, two chapters is written there. You know, when I'm doing it, it's like, okay, nothing changes. But remember Genesis 4? In the process of time. Cain brought a perverted offering and offered. Abel brought a perverted offering and offered. Did he show the same day? No. In the process of... Give it to me. In the process of... those who are feeding their spirit, those who have structured their lives to practice the critical things in the kingdom, it will be obvious that they've been doing something. So the deception is, I can be doing the right thing. Another person is explaining it away. And it may even look like this guy is doing better. He's doing well. But in the process of time, it will be obvious. It will be obvious. Because there's a book of remembrance before God. Are you with me? And there's such a thing as when the cloud be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Thy words were found. I did eat them. Eat. You can eat the word. What an expression. As you are hearing now, you are eating the word. But this is not enough. Someone will say, eat the word. We're not saying, okay, you are memorizing memory verses. No. That's good. That's wonderful. We're talking about the word there is revelation, revealed word. You eat them. You are having personal total immersions. You say, today I will hear what? Your ears are blocked. Your journal, journal is with you. You are journaling stuff. You are making progress in the places that matter. What happened? You say, that what became the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. I've said it again and again. When your joy is out the window, there's no word in your heart. There's no word. John 15, 11, you remember? He said, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. That means God transmits his joy through his words. As you are hearing word, you are receiving his joy. That's what he's saying. You are receiving his joy. The next time you are faced with a situation that should get you agitated, you will notice that you are not agitated. Rather, joy flows out of your heart. His words were found. I ate them. I ate them. It was the joy of my soul. Can we rise to our feet? Our time is gone. Rise with a shout. Have you been blessed? And let me just add this. Your phones are not for, your devices are not for, they are not for foolish music. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. They are for edification. Say they are for edification. Things that edify. You are singing, oh baby, pull over. Oh baby, pull over. And how does that help your destiny? It doesn't. You say the song is nice. Your loyalty to your future should be stronger than temporary nice song.
Yes, sir.
Did you get that? It should be stronger. Amen. It's a resolve. Anything that doesn't communicate, I told you, you are the custom of it over your mind, over your heart. We're talking about joy. This is the way. Hallelujah. And he's going to take a fight because joy is a fight. Satan will come to steal your joy. He knows the word will produce joy. So what does he do? He stops you from receiving the word. Or he chokes, he brings things that will choke the word out. But don't let it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you rejoice? 30 seconds. Rejoice! Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Have you been blessed? Lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are my focus. I have set you always before me. I will not be moved. I have set you always before me. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. I've set the Lord always before me. Can you talk to the Lord from, if you have heard something, just pray. Did something touch you? Just pray. Just talk to the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful, marvelous are the works of your hand. Great is your name. Hey. Oh, wonderful, marvelous are the works of your hand.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.